Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 3 as we open our lesson this morning on the subject of grace. And we're going to read John 3, 16, 17, and 18. I want to read this. I'm going to read from the King James Version. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, we've started last week here on the subject of grace. And, of course, we, all of us that have been raised in church or spent a little time around church, we know that grace, of course, we've heard this, is the unmerited favor of God. It is the gift of God. And I can bring that down a little bit and get a little ring up here just a bit. And also another word that's used interchangeably through the scriptures, you could say grace and favor can be used interchangeably. And if you look that up in the concordance, those words are used interchangeably. But one thing I'd like to do today is look at grace, kind of add some things to what we've been learning. But let's go over first, as we start this lesson, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and look at a very familiar verse in verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Now, one thing that we know is that we've been translated out of darkness and into the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear Son, which is what Colossians 1:13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And in this kingdom that we live in, first of all, where does the kingdom reside? The kingdom resides in our hearts, in us. But one thing, let's ask a couple of basic questions. Who is the king over this kingdom? Jesus is. And he is the king of kings. And another question to ask is, the rule, or that which is dominant in this kingdom, who has the final say in this kingdom? The king. His word is law. So there's no you know, in our country, you know, we have a democracy and we can decide, you know, whether we want to do something or not. You know, we can accept it, or I don't believe that, I don't receive that. But in the kingdom of God, his words our rule. It's law. That's it. There is no, I don't know, I don't want to receive that. In other words, if you're in this kingdom, His word stands. His word is forever. His word is the truth and the way. And so His words are words of grace and full of power. So one of the things that we can see from that is that when we're in this kingdom, we have to live by His words. And when we are in this kingdom, how did we have access to Him? Well, how did we enter into this kingdom? It was through an exchange. It was a covenant. There was a covenant established, and that covenant, there was something that He did and something that we did, and there was a covenant established. And so His words are above anything. His word is law. And so when we receive the words of grace, when we speak the word of grace, we will get the same exact results that He has spoken. So, just for a moment, let's go over to John chapter, I believe it's 14. Is it 14? 15, I think. Yeah. 15, I'm sorry. John chapter 15. And look at verse 8. It says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And I believe also it says that if we, He said that He would manifest Himself to us. Now, one of the things, let's go over to Genesis. Just, I'm going to jump gears here a minute. So we're in the kingdom of God. We have a covenant. And let's take a look at Genesis chapter 12 and His words are the law that we're to follow. Genesis chapter 12 and verses 2 and 3. Well, let's start in verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram," He gave him four things to do. He said, "Get thee out of thy country." That was the first thing. "And from thy kindred," the second thing. "And from thy father's house," third thing, "and unto a land that I will show thee." And then He said, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So you can see here, even where we talk about covenant, that God said, I'm going to make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. But that couldn't come about until Abram had to do something. He had to do something in order for God to do something. He had to obey him, but he had to follow the commands that God gave him. And he said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And when you do, then I'm going to do something. And I'm going to extend my covenant to you. I'm going to covenant with you, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So you can see here that there had to be, in order for this exchange to happen, there was a Godward side and then a manward side, where man had to do something, in this case, Abram. But there was also something to consider here, that, well, let me read this in the Amplified. Let me read Genesis 12 in the Amplified. It says, now in Haran, the Lord said to Abram, go for yourself, for your own advantage, away from your country, from your relatives and your father's house, to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you with abundant increase of favors. So he's going to bless him with an abundant increase of favors and make your name famous and distinguished. And you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. You are going to be dispensing good to others. So when you see what Abraham had to do, he had to get out of a country, he had to, and his kindred and his father's house, and go to a land he'll show you. He had to put all of his dependence upon God. And he had to unhook from maybe natural dependencies or resources. Well, that's no different today, that the covenant that we have with God, we are in the kingdom of God. And so because we are in the kingdom of God, our resources should come from Him and not be dependent upon the world system. Because when the world system changes, our dependency doesn't change unless it's misplaced. But he said here, and just hold your finger there. I'm going to jump over here because I want to look at another scripture. I'll get you there in a second. Keep your finger in Genesis and go over to Galatians 3:29. Galatians 3:29. So you can see the connection between covenant, blessings, and the New Testament. We have a better covenant through the Lord Jesus. But look what Galatians 3:29 says. It says, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So that means all that he decreed over Abram is ours through Christ. That means when he said, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Well, this said here, if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs, according to the promise. And so I would say that we are living way below our promises and our provisions. We're leaning and looking. We are not walking. We're walking by sight and not by faith. Well, let's go another way. We need to come up. Maybe we are, but we need to come up higher so that we reach out and take the provisions that have already been given to us. And I would say it like this. We're looking too much to this world system for our provisions. When God said, I'm your provision, I'm the Alpha and Omega, I'm the one that's going to bless you. Now, when we keep that perspective in place, yeah, there is going to be a transfer of wealth from this world system into the hands of his children. Because that happened with the Israelites when God favored them, and they did what? They went and asked the Egyptians, give me your stuff. And they did. And they walked out of that nation with gold and silver and stuff. So there's going to be the same thing here. We need to expect God to transfer that which is rightfully ours and being kept from us. God is going to supernaturally transfer the goods of this earth into his people, because the answer to the world's problems today is going to come through the church and his children. The answer to the world's problems is with the church. Because God's favor and his divine ability is going to be given to the church to figure out and to see how to solve the problems. And he's going to give the wealth to the church so that they can do what? Dispense good to others. And not hoard it and not use it wrongly. It's going to happen. Not only going to happen, is happening. Because what you have right now is, if you're going to put your dependency in the Democrats, or you're going to put your dependency in the Republicans, you're going to miss it. Because neither party knows what to do. They're all looking for an answer. God is the answer. And the church is going to be the one that's going to step up. What does it say? When the righteous are in rule, the people rejoice. And when they're not, they moan. Well, we got people moaning now in the world. They're moaning because the righteous are not in rule. And that is going to come about through our covenant relationship with God and the church seeing where they're supposed to be. In other words, how the church is supposed to function in this earth. So when they reach out and say, Lord, I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. And what do we have access into? We have access into this grace by faith wherein we stand. So it's by faith that we have access into this grace. And we're to walk by faith. So, Let's go over. I tell you, it's becoming so clear to me, or clearer to me, how the church has a major role in the end times, and to step up and to actually prove a show God's strong. Because really, when you think about it, those who want to put people in office that have something where it's liberal, intense, I'll put it that way, they don't really care about the government. They don't really care about your prosperity or their prosperity. They just want to climb it so they can sin easy and get away with stuff. That's really all they want. They want abortion because they want to be able to have fornication, and when they have a problem, they can abort it. They want all the other things that go on because they want relaxed stuff so that they can sin easy. But when the righteous are in rule, see, it's not so easy for them to sin. You put laws in place. And so the church is the answer to the world's problems. The church is the answer. And we need to step up, and when I say step up, we need to be believing God for a greater role in the solutions. And that's going to come through an increase of grace and favor in our lives. And He will give you a voice and a place to speak and to influence in wherever you are. He will have you in a place where you'll have influence to make a change. And when you think about this, think about, I believe, was it last week we started to talk about the life of Joseph? Did we discuss that last week? I thought we did. I'm not sure. I believe we may have. But just think about Joseph, and think about the impact of his life where he was. He was sold into slavery, purchased as a slave, brought into Potiphar's house. And because the Lord's favor was upon him, everything he did was blessed, and Potiphar recognized it and then turned everything over to him. Why? Because the favor of God was upon him. And then when he was accused of something that he didn't do, put into prison, he still, it said, the favor of the Lord was upon him. And the prison keeper turned everything over to him. So here's a thought. When the favor of God rests upon you, wherever you go, it should be better than when it came, when you came. When you show up, the results of you being there should be better. You should be having an impact and an influence wherever you are. Why? Because God's grace and favor is upon you. His wisdom, his power, his thinking, because you have the mind of Christ, the ideas and the things that he gives you, the influence that he gives you wherever you are, is dispensing good to those that you come in contact with. Isn't that not true? So wherever we go, we should be having such an impact that it ends up better than when we were there before. Because of the grace and favor of God. And if it's not, then we need to say, okay, Lord, what do I need to change? That's easy. And if there's things that are causing a restriction, causing things to be restricted. It can't stop God. And we need to believe for more favor and more grace, so that we, when we come into a place, it's better and more productive, just like Potiphar's house, just like others, where they recognize that something is on you. Something in your life is making my place of business better. Just because you're here, it's better. And you can say, well, it's not me. I am what I am because of the grace of God. And anybody in their right mind, they probably say, I don't care what it is, you stay. Everybody else gets a pink slip, but you stay. Because what you're bringing into my place is profitable. Absolutely. Exactly. And so that's really, you know, in essence, when it says in Genesis 12, when it says, and I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Not only that you are blessed, but that you be a blessing. And what it says in the Amplified is that it says, and you will be a blessing dispensing good to others. And that's what we're doing. That through the love of God and the compassion of God and the goodness and kindness of God, we are a dispenser of good to this world. So that's why I'm convinced that the church is the answer to the world's problems today. Because we are the dispenser of good. Because He's good. He's gracious. He's kind. And when He begins to operate through us, that goodness, that kindness transfers through us to the world. So the government don't have the answers unless they exalt Christ. Unless they exalt Christ. I was watching something. I'm going to look this gentleman up. And it kind of was interesting, and I don't watch a lot of Christian television. I don't. I'm just be honest with you, I don't. But I just happened to be, I was in South Carolina, so I just flipped the TV on to see the weather or something, and I was flipping channels, and they were showing this warden, who was the TBN show. That's what it was, and they were interviewing this guy. He was been a warden. Down in he's a warden, and no, it's not in Texas. I think it's in Alabama. It's a well-known prison. The big guy, huh? His latest name is Kane. Alabama. It's Alabama. It's not Texas. His name is something Kane. I wrote it down. But anyways, he said it had the worst record as a prison. It had the worst. Violence, killings, all of that. And he said he came in, and he said there was cursing, just a lot of cursing and violence. He said the guards were oppressive and to the inmates, and this is all this stuff going on. And he said that right now, he's a Christian, and God started giving him ideas as to what to do. And he said, right now, today, he said, it didn't start out that way, but this is over a number of 10, 15 years or more, where now they have a Bible college in the prison. They have a Bible college in the prison. Am I correct on that? And he said they have now what they call missionaries, and he said these guys are going into other prisons teaching the Word of God. He said they're so qualified now that these are not just, I mean, they're ordained ministers. And he said that there's no, he said, you can walk, he said, I walk these prisons anytime during the day or night. He said, and there's no cursing, there's no swearing. He said, the guards are not oppressive. He said, he said that he allows the families to come and worship with the prisoners on Sunday. It's unheard of. He allows the prisoners' families are allowed to come in and worship with them on Sundays. And what he is doing is he works on this. He said he works on a you do good, then I'll do something for you. So in other words, that kind of a thing. So in other words, if you want to act up and you want to curse and swear, well, then I'm going to take your privileges away. And so as they start to do good, he gives them more and more privileges. And so they've built on this property where he has, they've built a rodeo stadium where they do bull riding and all of that. And once a year, I mean, this stadium is huge. It's huge. It's state of the art. And they've money is coming in, millions of dollars coming in to build it, to support it. And these prisoners ride bulls and horses and so forth, and the people come in from the outside and they have a big deal, big show and all of that. And so he said that what has happened is these prisoners, he said, really what has happened, he said, I didn't do anything. He said the word of God got inside of them. And it changed them. And so it's just interesting to see what has happened. He said the whole culture's changed in the prison. It's changed. And so he said, this is what he said. It's a great interview. It was a great interview for about 10 or 15 minutes. I mean, I just sat there. I never heard of him. And he said that the problem we have in society is that, he said, the men haven't been fathers to the children. And he said, even though they're in prison, he said, some of these men are on death row because of something that they did. He said there was one man who was literally on death row right up to being, you know, executed, and he was still, he would give them privileges to talk. He said, you still have to be a father to your children, otherwise you'll never break the cycle. And I thought, wow, great insight, great compassion, great love. And so it was just really good to hear that he said these men need to be fathers because no one ever taught them how to be fathers. But you need to teach your children and train them up even though you've been incarcerated for something that you've done. And he said, you may have to pay society. He said that some of these men, he said, I trust them. He said, I would trust them, even though they've done some heinous crimes. He said, they've changed. And he said, but you still have victims, and the victims have a say-so. And so some of them, they oppose them getting out. But he said, these men are changed. And he said, I would stand up for any of them. He said, because they're changed men. And so it was interesting, but the point is that when the Word of God gets inside of you, it will transform you and change you. And these men are making a change in the environments that they're in. They're going into other prisons. They're teaching the other men in the other prisons, not people from the outside. These are men that have gotten changed on the inside and are having an impact in the prisons. Outside, they're letting them go outside those prisons into other prisons. So it's prisoner to prisoner now. Tremendous story. Tremendous. But it was what was somebody with a vision, a godly vision, to make a change. Well, that's the favor of God, resting on a person to see how they could change something. You see, and all he said, and he was very honest. He's just one of these country people, you know. He said, you know, I'm not so smart. He said, I can't take the credit. This is God. I just do what he tells me to do. And he said, they have all kinds of privileges. They got, you know, all the privileges you could think of. Because, he said, they've done good. They've earned it. So we give them privileges. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't hear that part. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, it was a tremendous, tremendous word by this gentleman. But let's pick up here today. Let's take a look over at Exodus. So we can see here that grace, I jump from Genesis to Exodus, but you can see here that really grace is afforded us because of covenant and the covenant of God that we have. So Exodus chapter 33 and looking at verse 13, as we've looked at this scripture, and verse 14, 13 and 14, it says, and this is speaking about Noah, and it says, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And he said, this is the Lord said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." So we were just sharing that grace also, you could say, is the presence of God, that one that goes with you, the presence of God. And then we looked at the other scripture verse we did looking at last week was 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever." Now let's go over to Romans. I wanted to pick up here on this scripture verse. One of the things that, because we are in the kingdom of God, and the words of the King is what stands. When we begin to take in those words of the kingdom, and we speak the words of the kingdom, then we're going to get kingdom results. And so that is important to keep in mind, so that as we go through life, the grace of God, which is what we're talking about here in Romans chapter 5, in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." And I don't know if I shared it last week, but that word "stand" in the Greek, this particular word that's used here, means to make firm, to fix or establish. It means to cause a person or a thing to keep his or its place, to uphold or sustain the authority or force of anything, to stand immovable, stand firm of the foundation, or it's of the foundation of a building. So we can see from Matthew 7:24, where it says that whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock or a foundation. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So when we see that, the access into this grace, the access into this favor that we have afforded us is by faith, wherein we stand. So we stand upon these words of grace. And so as we obey them and do them, we are building our house upon a rock, so that when the winds blow and the rains and beat upon us, we're not going to fall. Because we are in the kingdom of God, and we are under that covenant and subject to the laws of that covenant. So he says, I command you to do such and such. What are we commanded to do? To walk in love. And with, think about this, with the command, we have the authority and the power. So in that command, we're given the authority and the wherewithal to do that. We're given the grace to do that. So when he says, I command you to do this, with that is the ability and the power and the authority to do it. So we have the words of grace, and so that we access by faith. And Proverbs 16:7, it says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And the Bible in Basic English says, he makes even his haters to be at peace with him. So those, and this is why I say, when God's favor is on you because your ways please him, even those that don't like you or hate you will give you stuff, will give you things, will give you positions on job. They'll say, I don't know why, but I just like you, but I really don't like you. But I'm going to give you that job or give you that position or give you something because why? God's favor is upon you. Doors will open to you or in some cases we've heard stories where people, I like what Pastor Judy says. She said, look, don't get all spiritual. Kick the bag. Take the money. Take the position. Take the job. Don't get spiritual. These people may not like you. But when God's favor is upon you, look, Joseph was in prison. They turned over the prison to him. And a guard, obviously, there must have been something upon Joseph's life that the guard yielded to. What was it? It was God's favor. So we can see that faith gets you more favor. It's faith accesses this grace. So more faith, more favor. And so it's we can see that as we grow in grace, we can have more of an impact in the areas that we, in the people that we come in contact to. Now, it was funny, years ago, I wrote this scripture down. Did I write that scripture down? Hold on a second. No, I didn't. Somebody can help me out here. You can look it up. I don't recall. It talks about frustrating the grace of God. It is in Galatians. I just don't remember. Yeah. But anyways, years ago, when I worked with the utility company, I worked with a gentleman in the information technology department, or, you know, the area that oversaw all of the technology for the company. And I had a team of people that worked under me, and This gentleman had a team of people that worked under him. So we were all, I don't know, they called us managers or project team, you know, directors or leaders or whatever. And we had teams of software programmers. And each of us, as the manager in that over that area, would go into the, we had different areas of the company that we were responsible for. I was responsible for all the engineering departments. So the electrical department, the generating plants, the lines, poles, utilities, all of that, the gas department. And so there was a team of people that oversaw the billing, where you got your bill and all that. So each team had groups of people that oversaw different areas. So we went in, we would always meet with, when they wanted projects, we'd either meet with a vice president or we'd meet with somebody that represented that area, and we'd kick off and meet with those people and design systems for them, for their needs. Well, this guy, that he was really very bright. He was, you know, we all had our talents and gifts, and he was on a kind of a fast track. We all were to some degree. Well, Howard liked to shoot his mouth off. That was just a nice way of putting it. He was a jokester, and he liked to joke. But Howard didn't use a lot of wisdom sometimes about who he'd joke with. And so we had a meeting with, and of course we met quarterly individually. We would have breakfast with the CEO. So we would go up to his office individually, we would. We'd go to his office, have breakfast, and we'd meet, and we could talk. And so so we knew him, he knew us. And so we had this meeting at a lodge, company owned, and we had this property. It was on 30,000 acres of land. It was way upstate, and it was a nice area. You could go kick back and just have meetings, and we'd go once a year, so forth. Well, the CEO was there. And Jim Smith was one of these short little guys, no nonsense. He didn't play. He was from Boston. He had a very strong Boston accent. And he was just a real straight person. He didn't play. He didn't, no joking, right? Well, Howard wanted the joke. And he mocked his accent in front of him. And I went, I hung my head. I said, what did he just do? You're a jerk. What did you do? He never went anywhere after that. They parked him. They moved him. You know, they were going to give him this job, and they had a team of people. He never went anywhere. That was it. Yo, you mocked the CEO. Well, you didn't mock him. You made fun of his accent in front of him, in front of other people. I'm thinking, what did you just do? So he had favor in that company, but he frustrated it. Galatians 2:21. Thank you. Right, Galatians 2:21. Yeah, it says, thou therefore which teachest... No, can't be 2:21. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. Thank you. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So we can frustrate the grace of God. We can hinder the grace of God by our actions. We could have the divine favor of God resting upon us, and God is there working through people to bless us, and we do something silly. And we can just cut that right off. Close it right down. So we could frustrate the grace of God by something that we do. You see? Which is what he did. He did something really silly. No wisdom. That was it. And, you know, I had an opportunity. It was an interesting opportunity there, you know, but I chose not to take it. You know, the vice president of engineering came over, and he called me, and he said, come to my office. And they offered me to lead up the programming development for their control center, which still is in Rockland County. lead a program, go down to, and that was the problem. They wanted me to relocate to Florida for a year and to lead up the development of the software development of this program. And I had just started coming to RLCC. And I was like, no. I said, thank you very much. I really appreciate the offer. You know, the favor, it was a carrot. And it was meant for me to literally pull me away. It happened just at the same time when I started attending RLCC and participating and doing all of the things that I was doing way down in Peace Hall back in 1982. Just prior to that, they approached me to send me down there. And I said, no, thank you. And I had to, because in my heart, I knew it wasn't right. So favor can come in other ways. It can look like favor, but it is meant to get you off track, you know, and you just need to be prayerful. In my heart, I knew it wasn't right. And that can appeal to your senses. You can go. You can do that kind of thing, and you'll miss God. You say, look at this. And your flesh likes it, but is wrong. See? And the money can be there, and the position, the status, and all of that kind of stuff, and you miss God by a country mile. So, let's go over to Romans 4, 13. Over there a second. Romans 4. Romans 4:13, it says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So this is what we're talking about, that we have access into this grace through faith. And we have faith in what? So that we make sure we don't lose sight of this. Faith in what? Faith in God's word. Faith in the words of the king that rule in this kingdom that we live in. So when I have faith in the word of the kingdom, I have access now to his favor to allow me to do what? Demonstrate God in the earth. How? Through his grace. And so, yes, this is something that we're to grow in. We are to grow in grace. So that means we can increase in grace so that we can have an impact in this earth. And I'll tell you, it's exciting to me, because what that means is I don't have to be subject to this world system, because I'm not subject to it. I'm not part of this world system. I live in it, but I'm in the kingdom of God. And he gave me his word for it to have place in my life, so that I can have an impact in this world, not be impacted by it, that I have an impact. Because really, when you think about it, that's what God wants. God wants to have an impact in this earth. How is he going to do that? Through us. Through the word of the kingdom. Through the word of the king, he wants to demonstrate himself in this earth. Through us, and it's going to be by us having faith in the word of grace, which is going to increase his favor and his ability in us to do that. And we can. We can. And we are to do just what it says here. When you continue to read this in Romans 4, it says, For if they which are of the law be heirs, so we're talking about heirs of the promise, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who was the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So when we have faith in God, in his word, that it be by grace, we can call those things as though they were, those things that be not as though they were. Now think about this. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. So when we walk by sight, we're being motivated by what we see. But faith calls those things which be not as though they were. That's the word of the kingdom. Those principles, those laws rule in our kingdom. And so when we call something, we call those things that be or be not. No, we call those things which be not, because that's what he did. Now think about this. Go back to thinking about what's going on in this earth. Those that are in this earth that are dominated by darkness, they're motivated by what they see. They can't see how we're going to get out of this energy situation because they can't see where the oil is. They can't see where the solution is. But we who are in the kingdom of God, who've been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of light, we can see by faith and call those things which what? Be not. And so that's why I say the church is the solution for the world's problems. Because they can't see how to fix it. But the wisdom of God will show you what to do. You will see what to do. You'll see what to do. You'll go on a job and people say, I don't know how we're not going to make it. How are we going to do this? They can't see how. Because they're in darkness. You are in the light, and the word of grace will give you wisdom to see. That's what's happening. And God is going to be exalted in these last days. And he's going to be exalted through his children who operate in faith this grace. Because the world can't see how to fix it. But we, the children of light, will be shown how to fix it. Now, it won't be popular to those who are in darkness. It won't be popular with them. But God's going to show how to the church. And we need to be believing God how to see how to fix things. Whether it's in your town, in your home, in your job, or if God raises you up in government, to see how through the grace of God. Does that make sense? I'll tell you, it makes sense to me. We are not in darkness. We are children of the light, and we are in the kingdom of God. And His words are life. And His words are light. And when we receive them, we receive His favor and His ability. Now think about this. Let's close with this, because I think we're done for today. Let's go to John. Let's go over to John, and we just take a look at this here. John 14. Look at John 14:21. Talking about the words of the kingdom. Well, I tell you, this is good. We're talking about God working in and through us. Look at John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. He that hath my commands, the word of the kingdom, the word of grace, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. How's he going to manifest himself to you? Through his presence, through his grace, through his wisdom. He will manifest himself to you. To who? To those who have his commandments and keepeth them. That's exciting to me. That's exciting to me. So we don't have to live in a restricted lifestyle. We don't have to. See, when you see, think about what does the scripture say, as a man thinketh, so is he. I believe that's in Proverbs, was it 23, somewhere around there? As a man thinketh, so is he. Huh? I believe it is. Somewhere around there. You can help me out, but you know the scripture, right? You can find it and help me there. But I believe, think about this. If you see yourself restricted, then you will be. If you see yourself in a way that you can't, then you won't. See? But God's word, the word of the king, rules in the kingdom. He that hath my commandments and doeth them, see, he said, what did he say? He said, he it is that loveth me. Why? Because you have the commandments and do them. That's the person that loves him. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to them. That's good. That is good. So as we take his word, what do I mean by that? That when we have choices to make, the Word of God is first place. When I have a choice to make, and the doctor says something to you, I don't have to be rude, but this word of the kingdom shall stand in my situation. Whether it's health, whether it's your prosperity, the word of the kingdom stands in the kingdom that I'm in. And I'm in the kingdom of God. So when they say you can't have it, you just laugh. You can say, no, I have his commandments and I keep them and I love him. And he's my Lord and my Savior. And he is going to bring it to pass. Because I have the Word of God, the Word of the King on it. And I'm in covenant with him. Oh boy. Wasn't that scripture? Nothing shall be withheld to them who what? And not only believe, but love him. And I'll just say this, the climate that we're living in today, we are not to fear. We are to refuse fear. So that when the world embraces fear, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. Those that fear walk by sight. But we live in a kingdom where we walk and operate by faith. Faith in what? Faith in the Word of God. And His Word stands in my kingdom that I live in. I'm not subject to the laws of this kingdom that's in this earth. I'm subject to the laws of God. So we don't have to fear. We don't have to be anxious. Because if we have the Word of God, He said, I will manifest myself to them. But it is going to require us to operate in faith and not by sight. And that faith is going to give us access into this grace wherein we stand. And it's important, no matter what age you are, you know, sometimes people will say, well, that's just for that group over here. No. I don't care whether you're 5, 6, 10, 15, 20, 30, 50, 60, 70. It didn't say only the young ones walk by faith and not by sight, or only the older ones walk by faith and not by sight. It says we who are his children are to walk by faith and not by sight. And I will also say this, that when you are in settings where either it's a boss to a coworker or a teacher to a student, you know, sometimes knowledge puffs up. And sometimes a teacher will look at a student like they don't know anything. I'm the teacher, which they are. But wisdom comes from God. And wisdom can operate through a child that will astound a teacher and go, where did that come from? God. See, now they may not want to hear that, and they may mock that, but I can tell you it's happening where children are looking to God for the wisdom of God to walk through what they're being taught, and God's giving wisdom and insight into that which they're learning. Same thing on jobs. You know, bosses will tell, you know, the workers, we can't do that. Well, they say they can't do it because they can't see. They're in darkness. They can't see how to do it. But the children of light can. And we can. That's why I say, you know, I don't want to say I'm biased in this sense, and I use the word biased, because when I started in the ministry here, I was thrust into things that I didn't know anything about. My background and training was mathematics, was engineering, was computer programming, was the sciences. So when I got put over into doing some things in the ministry where sound was concerned and lighting and all of that, it has an element of that, but it was more in the arts. Well, I didn't come out of that. I wasn't a musician, but God began to develop some things in me in that area. And I did sing as a young person, so I got over and sang with the choir and so forth. So it had an element of that. But my point is that when I was put into that position, I was called upon to start doing some things that I did not have any understanding in. And I said, okay, God, I need your help. And God began to open my thinking and my understanding in areas. Now, yes, I did get some books and I did read, but I can tell you the understanding, a lot of that came from just God giving me, opening my thinking and my understanding up to see. I didn't say, I can't do this. I never said that, ever. I never said, I can't do this, I can't see this. I would keep working at it, and God would open up my thinking and understanding so that when I was doing it, I had a sense I could do this. So even today, and I say this in the ministry, when folks say, oh, I can't do that, I go, please don't do that. I've been there. I've been there. You are a child of God. You are a child of the light. And you are not and should not be in darkness and should not speak words of darkness, because your King is light and the Word is light. And we need to speak words of life and light in our situation, and we will be able to see and understand. And so, yes, it may take reading, it may take research and look, but He's going to open up your ability to understand something and to grow in grace and His ability. So I share that because don't ever get to the place where you say, I can't do that. Now, you may not be called to be a professional in that area, but I can tell you, if you are like in my position now, where we're interfacing with all the various aspects of the ministry, you have to be able to see and have an understanding of some things and not be in darkness with it. And so I'm believing God, and He is increasing my capacity to understand. And He's increasing my capacity to have wisdom to know what to do and just know. That's not anybody's ability. That's the grace of God. And you can have that, and we should have that, because with His divine favor and grace, we can go into an area and have an impact. Why? Because we can see. We can see what to do. We can know what to do. And God is expecting us to. That's the thing. He's saying, grow in grace, which means there's an expectation. God will do, and again, what is covenant? I have to do my part. What am I doing? I access it by what? Faith. Releasing faith in the words of the kingdom. When I do, He does His part, which is He begins to release that in your life so that you can see and know what to do and to demonstrate it. Amen. Glory to God. We're going to grow in grace, and we're going to have an impact on society. You might go, well, me? Yeah, you. You already are having an impact on society now. Because when you walk in a place, they know there's something different about you. So you already are having an impact in a measure. But we're talking about having a greater impact. God wants to be exalted. And He wants to work in and through us. Amen.